To be sure, some presidents' first 100 days are rockier than others. Bill Clinton's, for instance, were marked by controversy. Towards the end of those inaugural days, when a reporter asked communications director George Stephanopoulos why the White House seemed, quote, wobbly, he answered, "On the campaign trail, you could just change the subject, but you can't just change the subject as president." Since then, the media landscape has changed, accounting for 24-hour cable news, not to mention the seismic impact of the internet. But the game is still the same, a tug of war over control of the daily narrative. We asked Clinton's first press secretary, Dee Dee Myers, to reflect on her first days as she watched the Obama team adjust to the White House. She says the Obama transition seems more focused.
I was extremely envious of their transition. The Clinton transition had been rockier. I think we were so distracted by both the transition and by some of the scandals that grew out of that, including the president's pledge to allow gays to serve openly in the military, finding the right attorney general, a few other things that happened. We didn't come to that first day with the same kind of laser-like focus on how do we hit the ground running.
In fact, the very first subject of one of your very first press briefings became an ongoing problem for the Clinton White House. It was the issue of Hillary Clinton chairing the health care task force.
I wouldn't have remembered that. How we block these things. But yes, that's an excellent example of something that was a strategic imperative, which was doing something about health care, but became politically complicated because Mrs. Clinton was put in charge of that effort. And so from the beginning, there were two storylines there. How are they going to fix health care? And what's Hillary doing? And so, you know, we had to battle both of those fronts, and it was distracting.
At that briefing, a reporter asked you, why is the meeting closed, that is, of the task force? And you replied, why is the meeting closed? Because the task force meetings will continue to be closed throughout the development of the policy. That can't have felt good.
It's one of those answers that you give and you know you're going to have to answer the same question every day for the next 100 or 1,000 days. The healthcare process is a good example of, and I think everybody involved in it look back and say there's a lot of things we could have and should have done differently. And one of them was to have a more open process, because not only would that have helped us engage the American public, but you catch your mistakes. All of a sudden you send something out there, people go, oh, no, not that. And I think the Obama team has done a good job in most cases of trying to make the process transparent. Look, I think a lot of the senior Obama team were people that lived through the Clinton administration in one form or another and learned from the mistakes and in more power to them. If all that led to something good coming out of it, then all was not in vain.
It's a much more crowded and fragmented media environment now than it was during the Clinton period. They can use that to their advantage, right?
It seems to be a little harder for a story from one corner of the room to get traction.
Can you give me an example of that?
I'll give you an example from the Clinton administration. President Clinton got his hair cut one day on Air Force One. This was in the spring of the first year. And there was what turned out to be a false report that it had tied up air traffic around the country because his plane had sat there on the tarmac at LAX, prohibiting other planes from landing and rippling across the nation into a traffic jam. That story took off. Now, in this current media environment, would that story have the same reach? Maybe not. There was a way that certain very powerful news organizations, the New York Times, the networks, the Washington Post, would get onto a story and drive the room at a briefing and drive the media. And so I think sometimes those kinds of stories don't take off in the same way.
Comparing and contrasting the first 100 days of Clinton's administration with George Bush Sr.'s and with Obama's, one thing that jumps out at us is the change in communications technology. George H.W. Bush had to reckon with cable news a little bit, but it didn't have enough influence to set the news agenda during most of the Bush years. Bush Sr. also didn't have to reckon with the internet, and I don't think for the first 100 days you did either, did you?
When I went to the White House with President Clinton, there were three networks, CNN, CNBC was just emerging, there were no other cable outlets, and there was no internet. And so you had a much more condensed media environment. So I think there's no question that changes in technology have changed everything. I think the Obama administration, starting in the campaign, really did a masterful job of integrating old and new media. So they pay attention to both meet the press and what the New York Times is saying on any given day, and also to Twitter and to various blogs and to the traffic they generate on the internet through their massive list of contacts. And it's a very integrated strategy that lets them reach a lot of people who are getting their news in a lot of different ways.
Are you envious of the toolbox they have at their disposal that you didn't have?
That's the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away kind of question. I mean, you have a lot more tools, but you have a lot more demand too. And when I think about, yes, you have a lot of opportunities for creative strategy, but you're also on the hook for hundreds of news outlets that want something from the White House every day. So whether it's ABC News or somebody's website that has an audience and is worth communicating with, it just means that there's dozens more items on your to-do list every day. I mean, I think it's in the president's interest ultimately, but it makes for a long day for the White House press secretary.
Dee Dee, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dee Dee Myers was the White House press secretary during President Clinton's first 100 days. She's also the author of the book, Why Women Should Rule the World.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.